Hello, and welcome to Crime Theories Off the Record, a podcast series where I explain my interpretation of criminological theories behind the why, when, and where people misbehave. This is your host, Karen. Hello, everyone. It is good to be back after such a long hiatus. Off the record, though, today feels like an unconventional episode for me, as it has been hard for us to come together with the ongoing political climate and constant wars. We felt it was necessary to hold the space for us to continue talking about criminal justice and criminological theories. The recent events just keep deepening the fear and hopelessness of this situation as the war continues to expand. Though it's a new year, the ongoing genocidal case against Palestine doesn't seem to stop, similarly to the other genocidal cases around the world. As Professor Emeritus Ian Lustig echoes, this history exposes that Israel's current laundry list of war aims isn't designed to be achievable. Rather, these goals are political statements put in place so that after the United States inevitably forces an end to the fighting, the Israeli government can claim they could have achieved lofty goals if only the United States had not interceded. I know it sounds a bit crazy since the United States seems to be in support of the war, but if you're interested in educating yourself on the topic, feel free to read his piece titled History Tells Us How the Israel-Hamas War Will End, published by The Times. Now, back to your theory. Today, I will briefly introduce you to green criminology, and will try my best to cover some of the theoretical frameworks rooted in green criminology. According to scholars, green criminology, also identified as environmental and conservation criminology, combines criminology, public health, and rights, including those of humans and other species. And in the words of White, 2010, green criminology refers to the study of environmental harm, environmental laws, and environmental regulations by criminologists. In some ways, this subject breaks new ground and has proven to be the catalyst for innovative work on a variety of topics. Yet, in other ways, it simply reflects early insights and investigations. It has several precursors outside of criminology, including pioneering writers, investigators, scientists, journalists, campaigners, and others who improve society, living conditions, and longevity through their contributions to advancing the cause of public health, factory and water inspection, regulation of food supply, and so on. Most, if not all, of which develop as a consequence of industrialization and growth. Off the record, as mentioned in our Instagram at ct.offtherecord, green criminology is often confused with environmental criminology, which focuses on criminal patterns within particular built environments. So for the purpose of our discourse, we will strictly refer to it as green crim or green criminology. As South and White 2013 note, this broad array of interest in the impact of human life on the environment was not entirely overlooked by early sociologists and political economists. Marx has relevance and Veblen was pioneering in insights to consumer culture. But before I jump into this, I would like to remind everyone that I'm not an expert in every aspect of my field, but I have researched the topic. As mentioned in our last episode, Lex placed green criminology in the context of capitalist America. Following his 1940 visit to the United States, Weber too considered the relationship between the hunger of capitalism and the intensifying spiral of wants and consumption, and warned that there could be limits to the free availability of land that had given rise to the notion of American exceptionalism. Weber was interested in the question of how social structure, class and status could be affected and changed as such raw materials were used up. Concerns that sound remarkably current more than 100 years after his American travels. For example, Weber wrote, "We must not forget that the boiling heat of modern capitalist culture is connected with the heatless consumption of natural resources, for which there are no substitutes. It is difficult to determine how long the present supply of coal and ore will last. Today, the kinds of topics that are studied by green criminology are broad and expanding. They include harms and crimes found in the illegal trade of endangered species, illegal harvesting such as with fishing and logging, and the prohibited or irresponsible disposal of toxic materials that result in air, water, and land pollution. Other topics include clear felling of old-growth forests, ecological consequences of various technologies that result in the reduction of biodiversity, such as new plant seeds, criminological aspects of climate changes from Barrie's carbon emissions, and crimes associated with the aftermath of natural disasters. The latter could include, among others, looting, rapes, and murder in the wake of disastrous storms. Off the record, in my personal opinion, a group of green criminologists that tend to go under the radar are no other than our indigenous people. Put succinctly, this perspective generally includes a specific concern with environmental issues, various forms of social justice, ecological consciousness, the destructive dimensions of global capitalism, the role of the nation state, and inequality and discrimination as these relate to class, gender, race, and animals. Which to me sounds like activities that our indigenous community tend to advocate for. According to White, there are three broad theoretical tendencies that generally frame how specific writers view the nature of environmental issues, including harm and responses to harm. However, to learn more about its framework, stay tuned for future episodes. Thank you for listening and choosing our podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you're hearing from as we delve into more criminological theories. And don't forget to tune in to our next episode, Off the Record. If you need help visualizing crime theories or only have a few moments to review, feel free to visit and follow us on Instagram at ct.offtherecord.